What is up, you guys? Welcome to a special New Year's Eve edition of Controversial Thoughts. So here's hoping that 2020 ends smoothly and that 2021 is way better than this past year. Although I have to be grateful personally that 2021 has been a great year for me. I know it's been stressful for all of us with coronavirus, but here's hoping that the curse of the Mayan death whistle is broken in 2021 and that it's a great year for everyone and that the whole coronavirus thing kind of blows over and that metabolic health becomes the mainstream notion regarding how to prevent viral severity, et cetera. If you don't know about the Mayan death whistle, you can watch one of the Joe Rogan episodes. That's a sort of cheeky reference to that, where Joe blew the Mayan death whistle. And I've joked with him that I hope the curse is broken. Joe's joked with me back that he feels like he's caused COVID. So because of this eerie whistle that he says he left in Los Angeles. Anyway, here's hoping that 2021 is way better. Happy New Year to all of you guys. I thought it would be interesting to do an episode on alcohol, something I haven't talked a lot about, but I want to talk about which are the least toxic alcohols, how to mitigate a hangover, how to prevent a hangover, and things you can do in your life on a daily basis that will make a hangover less likely in the future, because I know that many of you will be imbibing alcohol for New Year's. Life is worth celebrating. Our ancestors certainly drank things that were fermented that had alcohol from time to time. It's not good for humans. It might actually be considered a mycotoxin in some ways, but let's face it, life is worth living and we can get pleasure. I personally don't drink alcohol, but you're going to learn in this video what I would drink if I were to drink. I hope all of you will join us at Heart and Soil for the 30-day animal-based reset in January. January is when everybody gets all stoked about changing things, which is amazing. Everybody has a fire lit under their ass about how to change their diet and their lifestyle, which is amazing. We are going to try and help everyone with that through Heart and Soil. You can go to animalbased30.com to sign up for our 30-day animal-based reset. We're getting everybody excited to do an animal-based diet, which, as you all know, is nose to tail animal foods as the center of the diet with the least toxic plant foods. That's animal-based. It's like carnivore, but it's a little more inclusive with the least toxic plant foods to make it easier to include more people from a non-dogmatic approach. You can definitely do a hardcore animal-based carnivore diet with no plant foods. I think that's amazing. Most days I have very little plant foods or no plant foods in my diet, but I do think there is a spectrum of plant toxicity and that many of us can tolerate the least toxic plant foods, and that this makes an animal-based diet, which really gets us 99% of the benefits, much more available to many people. If you have questions about that, you can find my videos about which plant foods are the least toxic, how to do an animal-based diet, Animal-Based Diet 101 at heartandsoil.co. I'll put in a plug here for Heart and Soil. I'm going to talk a lot about organs all the time because they're amazing and they contain many unique nutrients. If you need more organs in your diet, check us out at heartandsoil.co. We've got lifeblood back in stock, bone marrow and liver back in stock, gut and digestion back in stock, in addition to Firestarter, Immunomilk, Heart of the Warrior, beef organs, histamine, immune are coming back in January. We'll have a full store in January and some new products coming out early next year. So check us out if you need more nose to tail nutrition in your life at heartandsoil.co. So when we are thinking about alcohol, right, I will give you guys the crib notes from the very beginning. In my opinion, the least toxic alcohols are the clear alcohols, things like vodka, gin, and tequila. If you have an alcohol that is like a whiskey or a beer or a wine, the darker alcohols, they're going to have more problems. As I go on in this video, which I'll try and keep as succinct as possible, I'll talk to you about why those are problematic, why alcohol in general is problematic. But if you want to imbibe and you want the real quick down and dirty for this video, the crib notes, I would drink vodka, gin, or tequila, the clearest, purest alcohol, preferably even an organic one if they make those, on New Year's, and do these other things, which are going to include getting organs and not eating seed oils in your diet to mitigate a hangover. But stick around for all the details now as I dig into this. So what causes a hangover? I don't think anyone fully understands this physiology. There are lots of things that can cause a hangover. Certainly alcohol is a diuretic. It is going to cause dehydration. It's going to cause electrolyte imbalances because of that diuresis. But there are also some things in alcohol called congeners, which make the darker alcohols probably more likely to cause worse hangovers. I think the biggest cause of hangovers is acetaldehyde. So I will show you guys alcohol metabolism. There are two enzymes that metabolize alcohol. There's alcohol dehydrogenase and aldehyde dehydrogenase. an alcohol dehydrogenase converts alcohol, which is usually ethanol, into acetaldehyde. And then acetaldehyde or aldehyde dehydrogenase then metabolizes acetaldehyde into acetyl-CoA, which is used in our cells for the Krebs cycle, et cetera. So acetaldehyde problematically is considered a congener and probably creates a lot of oxidative stress in the liver, creating increased lipid peroxides. So alcohol in general is probably a mycotoxin because it's made by a fungus, but there are other mycotoxins in these other alcohols as well that are more dark. So red wine and beer, significant amounts of alcohol, significant amounts of mycotoxins, and I will show you guys all of that data momentarily. So here are a couple of studies that I found interesting with regard to hangovers. Here's one done in a Dutch cohort of students, and it's correlative. This is observational, but they found that experiencing alcohol hangovers was associated with significantly poorer self-reported immune function. That in the students who had worse hangovers, they reported their immune function as worse, which I thought was interesting that even the students knew that their immune function was poor. They were probably in overall worse health and they had worse hangovers. Makes sense, especially when we think about the fact that most of hangover severity is probably related to oxidative stress in connection with acetaldehyde, one of the products of alcohol breakdown or ethanol breakdown specifically, and that acetaldehyde leads to lipid peroxidation. And as we know, increasing seed oils, more of these omega-6 seed oils are probably going to make the lipids in your liver, specifically where alcohol is metabolized by CYP2E1, which is the CYP450 enzymatic system that metabolizes the majority of ethanol in your body, more susceptible to oxidation. That is, seed oils will probably lead to more lipid peroxidation when you accumulate acetaldehyde during the oxidation, the metabolism of alcohol. As I mentioned earlier, as I touched on, congeners, these things in the darker alcohols, may also contribute to worsened hangovers. These are essentially multiple things. One of them is acetaldehyde. One of them is methanol, which is considered to be a quote wood alcohol, which can be metabolized into formaldehyde, which is a bad thing to have. And the other congeners are actually tannins, which I will talk about in a moment. But there are some studies like this one looking at the intoxication with bourbon versus vodka, the effects on hangover, sleep, and next day neurocognitive performance in young adults. And they found that the bourbon was worse than the vodka. So that's interesting, but it's consistent with the notion that the bourbon would have more of these congeners. So again, alcohol is toxic to humans. It is probably a mycotoxin. You could consider it a mycotoxin in general. If you are going to drink alcohol, the clearer alcohols are going to have less of these congeners, specifically less tannins. Now, what are tannins? Tannins are essentially polyphenols. I spoke about this in my book, The Carnivore Code. Resveratrol is a polyphenol. It's in the skin of grapes to protect the grapes against the botrytis fungus. It's a plant defense molecule. As you guys know, I've talked about multiple times the fact that I'm not a fan of resveratrol. I think that all of these plant molecules may have documented benefits, but at what cost? And the cost is what I would consider to be the quote package insert with all of the side effects. These are collaterally damaging effects of these polyphenols that are not worth the benefits. So what I'm talking about here at a high level is the notion that we don't need to get resveratrol because we can get the benefits of resveratrol with fasting and ketosis. People get excited about resveratrol because it activates their sirtuins, but so does fasting and ketosis. And then we can get the benefits of resveratrol, just like we can get the benefits of most of the plant molecules, if not all the plant molecules, by living well, by heat stress, cold stress, by exercising, by being in the sun, and by fasting without any of the side effects of these molecules. I'll get into the bad side effects of resveratrol in a moment, but tannins in wine and beer are polyphenolic molecules that have negative effects in humans. They're anti-nutrients. They inhibit digestive enzymes. They're in plants to prevent the attack by fungus or other animals, and they're in things like wine and beer. So these tannins are probably worsening the hangover effect also by having their anti-nutritive effects in humans in these alcohols that you're consuming. It's part of the congener family. And again, that's why the clear alcohols, vodka, gin, or tequila will have less of these and may have less of a hangover in general. Now, alcohol is going to cause problems regardless because of acetaldehyde, because of the oxidative stress created by acetaldehyde. I'll get into glutathione and asked how died in one moment. I want to take a moment to show you guys some studies that I have spoken about with resveratrol in the past. If you have any questions about resveratrol, you can refer back to multiple podcasts I have done on this topic in the past and my book. There are many studies that show that in placebo-controlled randomized clinical trials, resveratrol fails repeatedly to show improvements at multiple clinical endpoints. This is not a beneficial thing for humans. It is, in fact, a polyphenolic, that is a tannic substance in grapes that is not needed to be optimal for humans. I did a whole podcast with David Sinclair. We mostly talked about NAD and NADH. I do believe we talked about resveratrol some, but I am no fan of this compound. This is a placebo-controlled randomized clinical trial, high-dose resveratrol treatment for non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. It failed. No consistent therapeutic effect in alleviating clinical or histological NAFLD. Now, that's one. Here's another trial with resveratrol where it also failed. No beneficial effects of resveratrol on the metabolic syndrome. You can read that study if you'd like. That's a placebo-controlled clinical study. And the last one, there are multiple here. Resveratrol reduces levels of circulating androgen precursors, but has no effect on testosterone, et cetera. This is a trial in prostate cancer, well, looking at PSA levels or prostate volume in middle-aged men. It's a four-month randomized trial. And the problem here is that resveratrol decreased androgen precursors, androstenedione, DHEA, and DHES. And that's a bad thing because resveratrol, as we know, if you've heard the stuff I've talked about, or you've read my book, The Carnivore Code, can act as a xenoestrogen. It can mimic estrogen in the human body. These are the tannins you want in your body. Not for men or women are these going to be good things. So in general, high level, this is not a video about tannins. Tannins are digestive enzyme inhibitors. They're plant defense molecules. They're not a good thing to get in your body. They're polyphenols, which, as I have said in the past, I debate the notion that these are beneficial for humans at all. That's a very contrarian notion, but in fact, this is the Controversial Thoughts mini podcast anyway, but I've talked about this in my book and many other podcasts at length. These are not beneficial for humans. They have redundant benefit with negative side effects. You can get the benefits by doing other important things, specifically environmental hormesis, heat, cold, exercise, sun, ketosis, fasting, etc. So I want to take a moment to also discuss the mycotoxin contamination problem, which makes the darker alcohols, beer, wine specifically, bourbon as well, that are made from grain, a big deal. So there's actually a pretty good amount of data about this. The mycotoxin levels in these alcohols have been tested repeatedly and they're significant. So we can look at this one, the mycotoxin profiling of 100 beer samples with a special focus on craft beer. They found 60% were craft beers. Selection of more than 1,000 samples were screened for the presence of aflatoxin B1. That's made by Aspergillus. That is a known carcinogen, ochratoxin A, zearalenone, fumonisins, T2 and HT2 toxins, one called DON, et cetera. And they found a significant amount of these had contamination with mycotoxins. This is in beer. I spoke about these in my book, The Carnivore Code, as well. You guys should just get it. I don't know why you don't get my book. It's all in there. And fungal and mycotoxin problems in grape juice and wine industries, significant. There's a significant amount of ochratoxin in wine. And I know there are some of you guys out there who are listening to this and love your wine. I'm breaking your heart right now, but I'm just trying to share the data that we have on this stuff so that you can make an informed decision on your own. Not piss on anybody's campfire, but knowledge is power. One more, mycotoxins in beer, impact of beer production, process on mycotoxin contamination. Again, significant levels of multiple mycotoxins in beer, and that shouldn't really be that surprising to us. Beer is made from a grain, grains get moldy. This is the same problem that you have when you feed these moldy grains to cows, and why cows should not be eating moldy grains, and why in general as humans, we should probably avoid grains. Now, there seems to be some confusion about my stance on grains, and I'll just clarify this right now. I'm really not a fan of grains. I did an experiment for a little bit with white rice, pressure cooked white rice myself. I'm just not a huge fan of it after my experiments. The pressure cooking of white rice could decrease the mycotoxin somewhat. Stripping the hull off probably decreases the mycotoxin somewhat. But I think in general, grains are not good for humans for a variety of reasons. They're all going to have lectins. A lot of people do even react to white rice. But with an animal-based diet and these ideas that I'm trying to share, my interest is making a toxicity spectrum. I'm going to be releasing an infographic with an animal-based diet very soon that has low, medium, and high toxicity foods. If you guys have listened to my plant toxicity spectrum data, my plant toxicity spectrum video, you'll know that the least toxic plants are fruit. Things like dates or berries or apples or oranges or non-sweet fruits like avocado or squash. Those are the parts of the plant the plant's not going to defend very much. That's a separate video. But in general, grains contain mycotoxins because they get moldy. Even white rice has some. You can decrease it by pressure cooking it. But in general, not a huge fan of that. Let's make the record very clear there. And the grains that are used to make beer are going to have mycotoxins. And we shouldn't be feeding these grains to animals. That's a bad idea. You're going to get mycotoxins in the meat. Last one here on wine. Wine's mycotoxin profile grows. This is from a technical journal called CNEN. And they're in there. Fumonisin, ochratoxin, aflatoxin, it's all in wine. So I am not a huge fan of wine in general. Wine also has sulfites, etc. We're back to the original thing. If you want to drink, go for a clear alcohol like vodka, gin, or tequila from the purest source you can. And know that most of the toxic effects of alcohol are mediated by the alcohol metabolism that produces acetaldehyde, which is going to result in problems with lipid peroxidation, like can be seen in this paper. Alcohol ingestion, liver glutathione, lipoperoxidation, etc. You can see here that when you acutely drink alcohol, you decrease the concentration of reduced glutathione, which is called GSH. You increase lipoperoxidation in the liver in experimental animals and in man, and they're closely related. So you're depleting glutathione because you are making acetaldehyde when you are drinking excess alcohol. This is alcohol metabolism in general. We have ethanol. There's also methanol, which is a congener in some alcohols and makes formaldehyde. Alcohol dehydrogenase, which is a zinc-dependent enzyme. Where do we get zinc? Predominantly from animal foods. This is the importance of no-till nutrition and zinc-rich organs like liver or muscle meat specifically. Acetaldehyde, right? Aldehyde dehydrogenase. This is the enzyme that many people have polymorphisms in that cause Asian flush syndrome, etc. Not alcohol dehydrogenase. It's a buildup of acetaldehyde that causes toxicity. And as this graphic shows, it leads to toxic hangovers and issues, again, with oxidation. We have aldehyde dehydrogenase making acetaldehyde into acetate, which becomes acetyl-CoA, as I mentioned earlier. But this is the problematic molecule. Acetaldehyde, primarily from an oxidative standpoint, creates problems by depleting glutathione. So one of the things that we could do in the setting of a hangover to improve the hangover is increase glutathione. You could either supplement with glutathione, give your body the nutrients it needs to make glutathione, which are things like B6, folate, riboflavin, glycine, full spectrum of proteins and amino acids that are needed to make glutathione, which is three amino acids, specifically glutamine, glycine, and cysteine. So giving your body the nutrients it needs to make more glutathione will be good. Not having a low glutathione status when you start would be a good thing. Supplementing with glutathione after you drink would help. And also understanding that having more seed oils making up the composition of your liver cell membranes is going to lead to an increased possibility of lipoperoxidation when your glutathione is depleted by excess acetaldehyde when you drink alcohol. One more article looking at acute and chronic alcohol consumption and glutathione levels, changes in glutathione and acute and chronic alcohol intoxication. They actually found that when they treated people with disulfiram, which is an enzyme or a molecule that inhibits aldehyde dehydrogenase and increases acetaldehyde, it worsened the effects of ethanol in terms of oxidation. So it looks like acetaldehyde is the problematic molecule. They found that the amount of reduced glutathione, which is the active glutathione, is depleted because of this oxidative stress from alcohol. Now, interestingly, an aside here is that alcohol could be considered a hormetic in some sense because it will create oxidative stress like so many other molecules that we think are beneficial, but is clearly a known toxin. And the difference between environmental hormesis and molecular hormesis is that environmental hormesis doesn't have the side effects that resveratrol or curcumin or isothiocyanates like sulforaphane do. And alcohol is going to have negative side effects in the human body. Primarily this with acetaldehyde, but it is creating oxidative stress in much the same way that so many of the molecules we think are beneficial are. This is the double standard. This is what people don't understand about polyphenols and how they are probably not actually that beneficial for humans in general. We can detoxify them, we can handle them, but getting a lot of polyphenols is a bad idea. Getting the nutrients that we need from nose-to-tail animal foods, that's really the way to create robust health and optimal performance as a human. So that's a really important review of alcohol metabolism. And it's important to remember that to manage alcohol, you want to have the best nutritional status. You want to have the best immune status. If we think about that first paper from the Dutch cohort of young men, rating their immune status low and having worse hangovers, you want to have very low amounts of seed oils in your diet or no seed oils. These are all things we're going to be talking about in the 30-day animal-based reset at heartandsoil.co. If you're not getting organs in your diet, you're probably missing out on a lot of nutrients that would help you to manage these stressors when you get to live your life and you're exposed to toxins like alcohol. The last piece of this equation that I want to talk about is the fact that alcohol is well known to create issues in the gut. It's going to create issues with dysbiosis, the wrong types of bacteria, overgrowth, and permeability at the level of the gut. So good summary paper that I found here is alcohol and gut-derived inflammation. Alcohol is known to create intestinal inflammation, including altering intestinal microbiota composition and function, increasing the permeability of the intestinal lining, affecting the intestinal immune homeostasis, all bad things. Studies show that alcohol promotes dysbiosis and bacterial overgrowth. Studies in animals and humans confirm that alcohol increases intestinal bacteria. Overgrowth may be stimulated directly by alcohol. Some studies suggest that it also could be an indirect byproduct of poor digestive and intestinal function caused by alcohol consumption. Furthermore, treating rats with bile acids reversed bacterial overgrowth, and alcohol is known to decrease bile acids in rats, probably humans as well. More problems with alcohol. Alcohol-induced intestinal hyperpermeability. Studies in humans demonstrate a subset of people with alcohol use disorder have increased intestinal permeability measured with a method known as the chromium EDTA method. And those with alcohol use disorder were more likely to have increased intestinal permeability and liver disease, according to this study. So the effects of alcohol in the gut are myriad and negative. Acetaldehyde, specifically the molecule we've been talking about, destabilizes tight junctions by redistributing proteins. Alcohol and its metabolites alter the expression of tight junction proteins. Alcohol and non-oxidative metabolites cause tight junction redistribution, disrupting its barrier function, et cetera, et cetera. There's a whole podcast coming with Lucy Mailing next week on GI stuff, but it may not be a bad idea to consider how you might support your gut or heal your gut if you are going to be drinking alcohol in or around New Year's or in general in your life, regardless of the type of alcohol. I would humbly suggest that you consider something like Immunimilk, which is a colostrum known to have hepatocyte growth factor, proline-rich peptides, lactoferrin, and many immunoglobulins that could improve immune function overall and gut function at the level of the gut epithelium, and our gut and digestion supplement, which actually has tripe and stomach in it, the building blocks for the actual gut lining and nutrients like liver, pancreas, and spleen with things like things like zinc, et cetera, that will be able to help support gut barrier integrity. We know that zinc deficiency is actually linked or connected with hyperpermeability of the gut. So getting more zinc in your diet from animal foods, liver, organs, pancreas, spleen could be a very good thing there as well. So support your gut after you're drinking with something like gut and digestion, liver, spleen, pancreas, Immunimilk, grass-fed colostrum. Consider NAD. You could even get an IV of NAD might help after you're hungover. Glutathione might help after you're hungover. Don't eat a lot of seed oils before. Have the lowest amount of seed oils in your diet. So in summary, many of you will drink over New Year's. Happy New Year. Be safe. Don't drink and drive. Eating an animal-based diet leading up to that, thinking about seed oils and how toxic they could be will help mitigate the effects of the alcohol. Drinking the clear alcohols like vodka, gin, or tequila would be better than the darker alcohols with their congeners, and things like red wine and beer, which are going to have mycotoxins, which are probably going to create a lot of problems for people. Don't believe the hype with regard to polyphenols and tannins. It's a separate video. We hope that you'll join us for our nose to tail animal-based 30-day reset, animalbased30.com. In January at Heart and Soil, we'll be doing emails every week, all kinds of support stuff. You can always email me at drpaul@heartandsoil.co. If you have questions about which supplement might be right for you, how to construct an animal-based diet, I'll be available throughout the month of January to help you guys through that. I'll be making videos, and there'll be all kinds of support for your animal-based transition in 2021 as the curse of the Mayan death whistle is broken. All the nose-to-tail nutrition you need is at heartandsoil.co. Like I said, you can always email me if you have questions. Stay radical, you guys. Love you all. Thank you for being a part of the remembering. Our ancestors drank alcohol from time to time. It's okay to have fun. It's okay to do things that are not puritanical. You know, it's okay to do these things. Just know that they may have negative effects on your body. And eating an animal-based diet, living in an ancestral way, living in a way that gives your body the nutrients it needs with nose-to-tail animal foods and an avoidance of seed oils is going to put you in a much better spot to recover from those things. If you really like wine and beer, drink those. They're definitely going to cause more problems than the clear alcohols. Stay radical, you guys. Love you all. Hope to hear from you soon via email. Check us out at Heart and Soil.